Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. During today's services, I kept picking up that theme that the Holy Spirit seemed to be bringing forward, which has how God really needs our authority. It started with Alan's message. It came through Pastor Dave several times during the second service. And while that was going on, because I've been over all of the instructions and the things that have come forward over all these years, I kept remembering statements that Pastor Dave made 10 years ago when we were first setting out to do these calling in the lost and calling in revival, especially in regards to authority. Now, I don't have a photographic memory, but the Holy Spirit helps me enough to where I can usually find things on the computer if I've, you know, so that and a good search engine. Hallelujah. And so I went back and I found this. This is excerpts from the very first instruction that Dave gave us on calling in the lost. And it really has a lot more in it besides just calling in the lost. And he's talking about the power of confession. He's talking about how God needs our authority. We're going to look at that several times. But it's so important, I wanted you to have a copy to take home with you. Did anyone not get a copy? Do we have any more? Okay. All right. So, first, I would just like to, if you don't mind, we'll just read this, and it'll be on the tape, because people around the world are not going to have a copy. You know, unless, I mean, we might post it at the website or something if they want to print it. But here's the section in that. And it was about calling in the lost, but it's that and a lot more. So we'll just start. He says, what I wanted to teach you is just a simple confession. Now, by the way, that has evolved now into these confessions that we call calling in the lost. And I went back and I looked at the very first one. It hasn't changed very much. Few little tweaks, few little things over the years. But the vision we started is the vision, the one we started with is the one we're going to have. We're going to possess everything, every statement. So he says, now get this next sentence. Just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. You're dismissed. Because what you're going to find as we read down through here, even if you don't believe it when you start, the power of confession, you're not moving God. You'll see it here in a little bit. You're not moving God. You're moving you. God's already got faith. God already believes this. If you just do it long enough. See, and that's me. When I didn't know anything in the very early days, I would just use confession like a baseball bat, and I'd beat unbelief to death with it. I mean, I just do it 4 hours a day. I did it for months until something changed. Something died in Gary. Praise the Lord. Okay, I don't want to preach too much. Got to read that again. That's just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. Because God is looking for people who will lend to Him their what?
Authority.
Authority. Here's another one come in over here. For Him to use it to do, for Him to use to do what you are saying. When what you are saying is what He wants. Well, that's what we've done. Tim sitting here, he knows, he and I have been over these confessions line by line, precept upon precept. We found two or three verses for every single statement. These really came by way of not only the Word, the written Word of God, it's come by prophecy, it's come by Word of knowledge, the things that have come through Dave over all these years. When it's what God wants, we're confident this is what God wants. Amen? All right. Now, do you remember what He said about the Lord of the harvest? The laborers are few, and the harvest is plenteous. Pray the Lord of the harvest. If God wanted them saved more than we do, why didn't He just do something Himself? That's a good question. Why bother with it? In other words, why bother with praying to the Lord of the harvest? And here it is. This goes so against the religiously trained mind. The religiously trained mind says God is sovereign, he does what he wants, and it doesn't really matter about your faith. That does not agree with the Bible. Nowhere. The reason is that the authority was transferred from Jesus Christ to us, his body, here on this earth. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. Let me say that one more time. I used to hear Norval. In the early days, Norval was one of my primary mentors in the 80s. Man, I mean, nobody could teach faith like Norval. And he'd say, God does what you do, my brothers and sisters. You want him to move in your life? God does what you do. What are you believing? What are you saying? Still, that rises up in me. Glory to God. Thank you, Norval. Well, the reason is that the authority was transferred from Jesus Christ to us, his body here on this earth. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. That's why he said, well, how shall they hear, lest a preacher is sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that carry this glad tidings of good news. What we don't bring, they don't hear. We instigate the truth and send it forward by every means. And no matter how we do it, whether it's by telephone, by television, sending a wire, a book, leaflets. Nowadays you would add the internet, MP3s, DVDs, and many other things. However they hear the word, they heard it, and faith comes, that should be in, and faith comes in. Until somebody does that, they will not hear. So if you pray the Lord of the harvest, that is the same as him saying, quote, oh, you gave me the authority to move, and I will move. Glory to God. Look up at me for a minute. This is too good, you know. Just now I'm seeing how the Lord threads his mind together through these services, you know. What was the topic? What was the... 2 or 3 weeks ago, you remember? Knowing God's ways. Knowing God's ways. We keep thinking, he can do it if he wants to. We keep thinking, it doesn't matter really what I say. It doesn't really matter. It's going to happen anyway. No, it won't! I got the Norval anointing tonight. No, it won't! Doesn't it sound like him? Hallelujah. Knowing God's ways. Believe in the heart. Say with the mouth. Let's say it a little differently now. The mechanism of dominion that he's been teaching us again. Not only what we say, which I've emphasized that for years, but he's bringing forward the other half. Because without hope, there really is no evidence for faith to give substance to. You know, faith is that substance, and it's the evidence. But without hope, there's nothing there for it to produce. So this is still just going on with knowing God's ways. He gave authority to man. He gave it to the first man, Adam. That one sold out, high treason. And notice it wasn't until Jesus went under the water at the baptism of John, when John baptized him. That was one thing's for sure, Jesus wasn't being baptized to wash his sins away. John didn't even understand why he wanted to be baptized. He says, I need to be baptized by you. But there was a reason for that. Boy, what a reason. Because that was a visual vow before the Father. I know why I was born, Father. When John lays me under the water, that's my vow to you. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going to do what you sent me here to do. But the other half of my faith is this. When John raises me up, I'm trusting in you, Father. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. You will raise me to new life again. And at that moment, in Christ, if we could have heard the gavel come down in heaven, it was like God accepted that vow as a done deal. He accepted it as an accomplished fact. Can I say it that way? God looks on the heart, and he said, "This is for real." Just like he looked that time in Abraham's heart and saw he was really going to sacrifice Isaac. He saw it was done, so he accepted that. Well, he accepted this vow, and at that moment, now see, Adam. Positionally, legally in heaven, Adam and the whole species of Adam died. That's so important that we get that, because until he did, that authority could not be transferred to anybody else. That's the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Once He speaks it, Adam had long since perished, the original man, but his descendants had still spread over the earth, and that authority spread with it. But in Christ, all died. It's as if I had a vision one time when I was praying about that, and I saw Jesus on the cross. He had just yielded up the ghost, and what I saw, the whole earth was covered with dead bodies. Everything was dead. Everything. And it was like my vision just went out, like I was going up higher and higher and higher, clear to almost outer space. There was nothing but dead bodies all over the whole earth. From God's point of view, the whole species of Adam died that day, even Jesus. And at that moment, that authority came back to God. He'd given it to man. There was no man. None. Not on earth. But when He quickened him from the dead, now, the second man, the last Adam, and God was free once more to transfer that anointing and give it now to the second man, the last Adam. We see all that happening really at the baptism of John before the cross, because God accepted it at that moment as an accomplished fact. And that's why He said, now, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He might as well have said, now this is Adam. This is Adam. Let Him have dominion. That's why the Holy Spirit, you see Him coming on Him right there. That authority that the first man Adam had, that authority and more came on the last man Adam, because he has all authority in heaven and earth. Okay, back to this now. That authority. So where we were, it says, so if you pray the Lord of the harvest, that is the same as Him saying, you gave me the authority to move, and I will move. See, where we keep missing it, we just flat don't believe that we have that authority. But we do have that authority. When you pray for a loved one, my God, you send angels after them. And you send God after them. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. Now, we have scripture for that. What do you think happened with Saul of Tarsus? Jesus Himself shows up. I mean, did you know Saul said that one of the reasons that God used him like He did was to use Saul as an example? Because Saul was the leader of the persecution of the church. He says he persecuted the church unto death. He said, God used me to show the abundance of His mercy. In other words, plain English today, if God can get me, you don't have any relatives that God can't get. You don't have any loved ones that God can't get. Hey, I still remember that testimony, like Dave said this morning, about that angel showing up. And Zona had been on drugs for 10 years, if I remember right. Long time anyway, long time. And he had tried everything, you know, like parents do. I didn't raise you like this. No. Anyway, God told him, says, you're not loving your daughter right. Says, I want you to do two things. When she comes in, I don't care how drunk she is or how stoned she is. When she comes in, I want you to tell her God loves her and you love her. And then I want you to shut up. You heard the tape? Is that how he says it or not? Shut up. He said that was really hard to do, you know. It's hard to hold your peace. Tell me about it. Hard to hold your peace. So one night he says, Zona, what would it take to get you to straighten up, you know, get right with God? She said, well, I guess God would just have to shake me up. Well, that gave him the authority. So he just prayed, God, shake her up. Shake her up, God. Well, that's the night that angel came. Yeah, who has everyone heard that story? Has anyone not heard it? This angel comes, it's like, you know, he's so tall, when he stands up, his head and shoulders is above the ceiling, you know. But when he shows up, he's just sitting Indian style looking at her beside the bed. You know, and he's all shiny and come from heaven. He doesn't say a word. When you're 12 foot tall and you just come from heaven, you don't have to say nothing. All you got to do is show up, you know. She thought she was dreaming, so she pulled the covers over her head and pinched herself. No, ow, I'm not dreaming. Looked again. He was still there. Still there. Well, long story short, that thing, it never did say anything to her. It just stood up finally, head beyond the ceiling. Walked through the wall into the hallway. She ran into her bedroom door and looked. Saw him go down the hallway, turn left, and walk right through the wall out into the air. She goes running downstairs to Norval's bedroom. Daddy! Knock, knock. He said it sounded like a little mouse squeaking in the house, you know. Daddy! What's wrong, Zona? What's wrong? She said, big, really big daddy. Scared me. Showed up, sat by my bed. 12 foot tall, big. What was it, daddy? Finally, God said, oh, I know what that is. That's your angel. God just put meat on his bones so you could see him. She says, I don't want him, daddy. He's too big. That angel, that experience, word for word, he says, it scared every dope devil out of her. Scared straight. Scared every dope devil out of her. She never took another dose of dope, not ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's an... But if that hadn't have worked, well, who's next in line?
Jesus.
Don't tell me he wouldn't come. If he's not a respecter of persons. He's looking for that authority, see. If he come for send an angel after Norval's daughter, he'll send an angel after your kid.
Amen. Amen.
And if that doesn't work, eventually if Jesus himself went after Saul, he'll go after your relative.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this again. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. And you are the one that caused it. He came... Boy, now get this. He came because of your authority. Some of you have been experiencing that to some degree. Sandy, and I think he's talking about Sandy Inman here, Sandy has been getting calls from her relatives that are breaking down under the pressure, wanting to come back here and be born again and serve God. She's awfully happy about it and says, oh, this stuff works, doesn't it? You bet it works. So when we do stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in, our intention is to slide into that worship to where we become one with it and it becomes one with us. Now stop for a minute. Have you heard anything recently about be in these things? Have you heard anything about a place called done? See, there is a period of time, he's going to talk about that here in a minute, where you're confessing unto. I mean, you're the one really in unbelief, and you're making these by faith. You know it's what God wants. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. But see, the point is, eventually, you move out of that state, and you become one with what you're saying. You become one with the vision. That's really where you don't live in the same old place anymore. You got that? All right, now watch. So I'm going to read that again. So when we do stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in, our intention is to slide into that worship to where we become one with it, and it becomes one with God, one with us. Where God is actually, through His power and anointing, dictating these things through us. Glory to God. Now this is what He said when He talked about, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you doubt not where? Where? In your heart. Then you will have what you say with your mouth. If you doubt not where, getting it again, your heart, you'll have what you say with your mouth. What saying it with your mouth does is, generally, it finally pulls your heart in. Once your heart is pulled in, the process reverses, and you finally get what you are saying with your mouth. This is why it may take you 30 minutes of giving yourself to Him and His anointing and Him to you. But once you are in there, He is taking your authority and doing incredible things with it. Jesus will become to this church what you call Him. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Hallelujah. Now, of course, you know Ephesians chapter 5. Now, by the way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So far, he's used the word authority 5 times. And he's used it once more in this next paragraph. There'll be 6 times the word authority is used. said, of course, you know Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess. But on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said to not be drunk on wine. The world has to get drunk on wine to cope. You don't have to. There is a place in the Spirit where when you keep confessing His Word over something, what you are doing is ministering to yourself, your own heart. You are not actually moving God. You are moving yourself into a place to line up with God. That's why He says you can be drunk on the new wine by ministering to yourself over and over in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, things that came from the Spirit, like what I'm about to give you. And what He was about to give them was this, these confessions. You understand me? How do I know that? He had me type them up. I'm the one that typed them. You know. You keep ministering that over and over and over until eventually it will move your heart, because it is your heart that you are ministering to. And as soon as it is able to move your heart lines up with God's heart. And that incredible authority comes. Stop right here for a moment. So many of the teachings, I see them in these paragraphs. Think about Abraham again. Why in the world, if God is... And see, as I start to say that, I catch myself. If God is sovereign. He is sovereign. But if He is sovereign the way that religion keeps telling you that He's sovereign, where it doesn't matter what you say, and it doesn't matter what you see, why in the world then did He need to change Abraham's vision? And why in the world did He need Abraham to start calling himself the father of many nations? Why go through all that? That's the point of this. Because God needed two things. He needed Abraham's authority, but He also needed it to draw Abraham into the same thing that God saw. The very process we're looking at here is the process God used to do that creative miracle in Abraham's body. So, well, it didn't matter. God could just do it anyway. Then why didn't He? God is sovereign. He could have set this up, the whole universe, any way that He chose to. God has set it up according to His ways. He designed it the way He wants it to function. Well, He's got it functioning by the authority of man. That's the way He decided to do it. So, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, spending time calling those things that be not as though they were, spending time, whether it's something in your own life, or whether it's a relative that you're standing for, a healing that you're standing for, anything. God has got to have our heart, not the head, but the heart is where that authority comes from. And He has to draw us into it first. But boy, once we're in it, then when we speak, it might as well be God Almighty, light be and light was. That's the way we want all our prayers answered. Healing be, healing was. Glory to God. I think we're headed exactly there. Hallelujah. So let me read that sentence again. As soon as it is able to move your heart lines up with God's heart, and that incredible authority comes. Then 1,000 angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. Then the glory will fall to meet them. And that's what revival is all about. Praying in tongues transforms you enough so that I don't believe any of you are going to give in to the devil's beatings. The devil will take your persecution to a new level because you're doing this. These next two sentences. This was 10 years ago. I think of the faces. You'll know if you don't pass. Pass what? Get past the persecution and the beatings. You'll know if you don't pass because you won't be here. You'll know if He can't use you for revival because your circumstances will beat you out of it. and you'll stop. All right, look around at everybody and say, I'm glad you're here. Congratulations. I'm glad you're here. You quit being so hard on yourself. You're still here. Glory to God. We could all stand. We don't have enough time this week for everybody to stand up and tell about all the beatings that's happened in the past 10 years. I mean, you know, thank God we're still here. Thank God we're contending for revival. Thank God, give me something to die for, give my life for. This is worth contending for. This is what Jesus paid the price for us to have. Glory to God, fires me up. That authority, the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. Okay. Mark 11. Where else? Mark 11. Mark 11, starting in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you believe it? When you pray, and you shall have them. And we can't leave this last part out. And when you stand praying, let's say it this way. You want your faith to work? You want your prayers to be answered? You want to have that authority manifested? Then this is probably the most important part right here. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, and notice this, there's no qualifiers in that. No matter, yeah, but what they did was wrong. There's no qualifiers in this. It was wrong that they crucified the Lord of glory. He hadn't done anything wrong. What did he pray? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It was wrong that they stoned Stephen to death. He hadn't done anything bad. He hadn't done anything wrong at all. Had his whole life ahead of him. His whole ministry ahead of him. And they're stoning him. And I've never been stoned, but I've been in good fights. I've been in real fights where, you know, you get hit hard enough where your teeth get loose and you swallow in your own blood, you know. I know what a real fight is. And I can't imagine those stones keep coming like that. Keep coming like that to where it dawns on you. This is it. Whatever plans I had for marriage, that's over. Whatever plans I had for children, that's over. Whatever plans I had for ministry, and this is not right. I didn't do anything wrong. What kind of heart does it take? We wonder, why is it not manifesting more? There's something wrong with our heart. I try and put myself in his position. I go, I could give lip service to it. I could religiously forgive them. But I don't know if I could forgive them from my heart yet. But he did from his heart. Even with all that, with the sin that in the next few minutes my life is over. These guys are stealing it from me. What is his last thing? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And the man who was standing there giving his approval, holding the coats of the others, probably didn't want to get his hands dirty, was Saul of Tarsus. That forgiveness, it's not like we haven't preached on it, but something here is coming that I don't totally have a grasp on yet. There's something about unlocking heaven. The kind of heart, it has everything, yes sir, it has everything to do with those cloths, that kind of a heart that was in Paul, not Saul, later on Paul, who genuinely, he said, I am telling you, and if the Holy Spirit was standing here, he would tell you also, he would agree that what I'm telling you is true. I would be willing to be accursed from God forever and go to hell forever if my brethren the Jew could be saved. And if the Holy Ghost was standing here, who can see my heart? If he was standing here, he'd give you witness that what I'm telling you is the truth. I just flat tell you, I don't love you that much yet. I mean, I don't love anybody that much. I mean, I love Cole, but I don't know if I go to hell forever for him. You know, I don't know. I'd be willing to die for him here, but I don't know if I'd be willing to go to hell forever. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a place where we're still going. There's a place we're still going, and God was talking about it all day from Alan's message on about the character development, the anointing by dying. Was that the phrase he used? The anointing. He says he can have an anointing by office, which he could have stopped at night. He could have began that at 19 and probably had a real nice ministry out there right now. You know what I mean? But he said, no, I want you to have an anointing by dying. Man, that's good stuff. If you didn't hear that, you got to hear it. If you didn't hear Tim's Thursday night, you missed half your life. I'm telling you. I got home, I had to apologize to Sue. I said, Sue, it was so good, I needed to write down every sentence. But I found out that as I was writing that sentence, I was missing the next sentence. So I just have to wait and get it, you know, the message. But man, I'm telling you, God's bringing forward some powerful things, and He's doing it in such a simple manner that, man, it's just really, you can grab hold of it quick. Well, getting on to this forgiveness here, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, and I can't find any qualifiers at all there. None whatsoever. It doesn't matter what they did. It does not matter. It says, well, my emotions. Well, that's why you're going to this church. You're going to the right church to defeat and conquer the emotions. And hey, we're in the same boat with you. You think I've arrived? You've got to be kidding. Ask my wife. No, don't ask her. But anyway, I have not arrived. I'm on a path with you. But I already know I'm not the same as when I come here 15 years ago. Dear God, He's changed so much in me, you know, and He's still working on me. But I'll be honest with you. What was last week? How to get unstuck, climbing out of the rut, whatever. How to get unstuck. The last two points that Tim made, and I should have brought my notepad with me, but I left it because Sue wouldn't give it back to me. She was reading what I wrote that Tim said. If I remember right, when you hear from God, okay, four steps. When you hear from God first, did you write them down? First, make sure it's God. Mm-hmm. Check it with the Word and see if it brings peace. See if it's got the peace of God. When you hear from God about anything, may not have them in the right sequence, but one of the things was ask for His grace to receive that word. Ask for His grace to receive that word. Okay? Number three, Tim's right there. You probably know him. What's the third one? Ask for His grace for strength. And then the last one was ask for grace for wisdom. And that's your six friends. The who, what, when, where, how, and why. Sometimes He'll tell you why. Most times with me, He doesn't. It really is on a need-to-know basis. If you need to know, He'll tell you. But many times, you just do it. Okay? Amen? Man, that was good stuff. Now see, climbing out of the rut, we've had a whole week. I want to ask you for a show of hands. Wonder how many climbed out? I've had a little difficult time myself. Ruts are ruts. And they've been deep and long time you've been getting down in that rut. You've been down in that rut so deep now you can't even see over the edges anymore. I wonder what's out there, you know. And I heard Tim Thursday night. Well, I need to ask for His grace. Yeah. I need to ask for His strength. Yeah. And I need to ask for His wisdom. Yeah. Then you need to not waver when the wisdom comes. See, because it may be a radical surgery deal. I gave you a couple of examples, you know, and he changed what I ate for 40 days. And like, there's been other ones like that. No, he'll put you on little fasts of certain things, TV, newspapers. One time, Jinho, I mean, he told this to his whole church. It's no secret. One time, I believe it was the first or second time I went. It was after the first time. That's when it was. he was kind of like Copeland. You know, he's an intellectual fellow. He really is, and he's a faith man, Pastor Jin Ho Kim. But one of his habits, one of his ruts, he had like three different newspapers that he would read every day because he likes to know what's going on in the politics and everything. And uh-huh. And but after hearing the messages, he had a desire to pray more. Uh-huh. And he started asking the Lord, see, we've got to get out of our ruts. Well, the Lord says, well, just quit reading them for a certain amount of time. Uh-huh. Pray instead those same hours, the same amount of time that you were using to read the papers, just don't read them, just go pray. I forget, after a couple of weeks, the transformation was such, we're not going back to the papers anymore.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm sure he keeps up a little, you know, to some extent, but to sit there and use several hours a day mm-hmm. reading newspapers, no. Mm-hmm. Well, God's got a plan for each of us. If you didn't get out of the rut this week, don't give up on getting out of the rut. Ask Him for grace to receive it. Ask for grace for strength. Then ask for His wisdom. And when it comes, it'll probably come as a thought. We really still wish, I mean, I know I do this all the time. When God responds back to questions like that, you know, I so wish Gabriel's trumpet would blow. Oh, I wish it would, because it usually comes as a thought or an idea. And you miss it because you think it's just you. See, I nearly missed this for you guys today. I remembered it during the service. And I wasn't exactly... I was just remembering, boy, Dave talked a lot about authority in those... See, that was the thought that came, and it was really the Holy Ghost. But I almost forgot it because we went and ate Mexican food. Then I went home and I took a nap. And then I got up and I watched Dallas for a little bit playing a football game. And then I was, oh, yeah, yeah, calling in the lost. I better go pray. And as soon as I started praying, boom, here this comes. Oh, God. I had to run into the computer, get everything going, started printing them, run out of ink in the cartridge, had to go change cartridges. You know how it is, you know. About 5 minutes out the door, and here we come. Okay? I could have missed it. Mm-hmm. See? So when his, I said that, to, when his wisdom comes, when you start getting answers, I need out of my, okay, let's all pray a collective prayer. Here it is. Help God. Help me now, Jesus. Help me get out of my rut. Give me wisdom. Now, He will. When it comes, what I'm saying is, I wish it would come with Gabriel's trumpet. Incoming instructions from God by way of the Holy Ghost. This time it's really God and not just you. You know, this is not a devil. This is the Holy Ghost. And don't you wish it?
Yes.
You know, but it doesn't. It doesn't. You learn. You learn with time. You learn with experience, okay? You know, sorting out your thoughts from His thoughts, okay? But when that wisdom comes, don't waver. LaRue's been teaching a lot on that verse, you know, don't waver when the wisdom comes. And he says, I used to wonder what that meant. What do you mean waver at wisdom? You're asking for wisdom. Did you waver in between whiz and dumb? You know? What? No. No, the wavering is when you hear God's instruction. And usually you go, you said what? You want me to fast meat for what? You want what? You want me to give up newspapers? You want me to do this? Well, when that wisdom comes, then don't waver at it. Ask for His strength. Very few ask me for strength and believe I give it. Very few ask in faith regarding strength to overcome whatever habitual situation they're in. Very few ask in faith. Because when they step out then to obey my instructions, when they step out to obey my instructions, they run headlong into their own flesh. And immediately they begin, I can say it in tongues real well. Immediately, I'll get it. Through long-standing, habitual practice, They are, say it another way, they are accustomed to leaning on the strength of the flesh. So their natural instinct is to yield to natural methods. And when they don't find strength there, they think, I have not answered their prayer. You are not a people so trained. You have been trained by my Spirit. And you are progressively learning how, when you run headlong into your own flesh, not to yield to the strength of, to the arm of flesh, not to lean on the areas, not to lean on the arm of flesh, but rather learn how to lean on my nature that I put in you. Lean on that nature, the strength of Christ in you, by whom you can do all things. I got to hear that again myself. See, that's so right, you know, that's so right. We come to this and you get, I want to get out of my rut, glory to God. Okay, I'm always nice to you guys, right? I won't pick on me. Do y'all think I might have a rut that I need to... I'm really not pregnant, I just look it. You know, I need to do something, don't I? See? But every time I try and do that, okay, for benefit of the tape, I need to lose about a whole bunch of pounds. I need to lose a bunch of pounds. That's just something that it's one thing that I can talk about. When I deprive my flesh of what it wants, it throws a hissy fit. You know what a hissy fit is? What do you mean? Feeding me ice cream and all this stuff for all this time and then take it away from me. I'll make your life miserable till you give me what I want. And so I'm going to lean on strength, right? And so I'm going to want to restrict it. Boy, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. See? So right away I run headlong into my own flesh. So I'm trying to fight. Now what's funny, it's kind of like guarding the hen house, you know, putting the fox in the hen house to guard the eggs. Here you're trying to discipline the flesh, but you sure can't lean on the strength of the flesh to discipline the flesh. But that's what we try and do. See, we don't realize we're doing it. We're really leaning on our own strength. Now, I'm using me because I'm being real nice to you. Do you understand what we're talking about? Okay, we could pick other things, all right? What he's saying is we are learning now. We are learning. When we ask for wisdom and then ask for strength for that wisdom, we're going to hear from Him. When we get those instructions and we set out to do them, we're still going to run headlong into our own flesh, plus whatever the devil throws at you to stop you. Now, the key is learn to lean on Him. Learn to lean on Christ in us. Even Paul had to learn that. Three times the Lord said, "My grace." Well, His grace is Christ in us. My grace is sufficient. In fact, didn't he say something like, I may not quote it perfectly, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that what it says? See, right there, that's what we've got to learn. We're about to learn that. Amen? When His wisdom comes, I don't care if you have to pray it 10 times a day. If you're about to throw His wisdom, in other words, the instructions He gave you, if you're about to throw them out the window, if you're about to waver, ask for that strength again. Lean on it again. Teach me, Father, how to do this. And we're going to overcome. Is that enough for tonight? Now, I printed these for you because, be honest with you, I printed them for you because that's what I saw myself doing. I think there's enough in here. It's good for you to have your own copy. Read these things. Study these things. Because not just in the arena of calling in the lost, these same principles apply to every area of life. This is part of knowing His ways. Amen? Hallelujah.